doubts about a message, questioning myself, really, and whether this is the time or appropriate, or I guess even how this kind of a message would fly, than the one that I want to share with you this morning. In part, it's because it's not my message. It is really, it's a ministry. It's a ministry that has been existent for years. A man who was a colleague of the ministry we used to work with, Campus Crusade for Christ, presently a teacher at Talbot Seminary, as well as a speaker and a popular writer. And he has put together what he calls Seven Steps to Freedom. And it deals with demonic deliverance. Now, deliverance is a key theme, as we have seen this summer. If you're a guest or visitor this morning, we have taken the summer to, and I would have to admit, almost survey, really. There's so much more to learn. But to survey this topic of the devil and demons, the demonic, used as our verse from the back of your bulletins there this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Where Paul tells us that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith. And so we've taken time this summer to ask ourselves, what exactly is the faith? What are the basic tenets of historic Christianity that some would be tempted to abandon? And he says they will abandon the faith because of deceiving spirits. And so we asked ourselves, what exactly are deceiving spirits, demonic spirits? And how do they deceive people? And he said not only that, but things taught by demons. And so we've asked ourselves the question this summer, what kinds of things, if the devil were able, would he teach? And where are they being taught? The obvious in our society around us, but we've also suggested that there are many things that the devil wants to teach Christians that could lure them away from historic Christian faith, their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, deliverance is replete in the scripture from the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, all the way to chapter 21. We see this theme of God to the rescue as a result of the fall of man into sin until the marriage feast of the Lamb is complete and it is fulfilled. History has reached its ultimate destiny at the feast. You find that theme, the strand throughout Scripture, God to the rescue, deliverance. And so Jesus taught his disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us from. Go back in Matthew and you'll see that the original says the evil one, from Satan himself or his minions, demons. Deliverance. That is true of salvation, where Colossians 2 tells us that he rescues us from the dominion or the authority of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, literally, and he transfers us to the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ, his Lord. That is salvation, but sanctification, there's two different things here, is also a process of God delivering us on a daily basis from evil. And delivering us in our mindsets and our attitudes that we assume, in our actions, our interactions and reactions that in many ways have been swayed by the devil and the system of the world that he promotes, worldliness, godlessness, sanctification, where we have been set free in Christ, but now it is your and my responsibility to maintain our freedom, to nurture our faith, first of all, as Christians. That's, you would expect, the responsibility of the pastor. But you as a believer, as a mature Christian, are responsible for your faith and will answer to God for the degree to which you nurtured that which God has given you. Church certainly, hopefully, being one of the ways that on a regular basis we can gather together as believers and find sustenance upon which to base our lives, the faith that God has given us. But also the maintenance of our freedom. Paul in the book of Galatians, and this was the study this spring that led us to this series this summer. He exhorted the Galatian believers, since Christ has set you free, stand firm then, and don't let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, of bondage. Don't go back as Christians. In context, he was talking about Judaism. I believe that we can broaden that to many respects where we often or occasionally see a Christian returning back to an old pattern of life, an unchristian pattern. Freedom gained must be maintained. Proverbs chapter 14, 8 tells us that the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. A wise person will think before he or she acts. What I'd like to do this morning is take time and rather than being informative, so to speak, I'd like to be interactive with you. And we have a handout that we're going to give you. We're going to, we've made 100 copies. I don't know how many adults we have here in our auditorium this morning, 200 seats. So we may have to split up. If you're with a couple this morning, why don't you grab one between the two? And I think we'll have enough, hopefully, and we can get through. But I've got a material that I would like to walk you through, and this sermon is going to be a little more interactive. In fact, you're going to help me preach it. And if you tend to sleep in church, I would suspect this morning you won't, because you may be called on to read. Heads up. Remember those days in grade school when the eraser hit you in the head and it was your turn to read? That was the old days, by the way. You couldn't do that anymore without being sued. And I'd like to introduce to you what Neil Anderson put together is the steps of freedom. Now listen, when you go to the doctor's office, maybe you go in for an initial visit or a consultation, oftentimes they will give you a questionnaire or survey and they say, here, before you meet with the doctor, we want you to fill this out. And they give you a broad-based kind of health history. In a sense, that's what this is, the steps of freedom, if you've not seen them, are simply, he's touching on seven different aspects of spirituality where possibly the devil might have what Paul calls an advantage over you and I. In some form or fashion, he may have gained access. Ephesians 4:27, for example, tells us in terms of forgiveness not to give the devil a foothold. And by withholding forgiveness, we do exactly that. So we're going to look at that as well as several other areas this morning. And I'm going to ask you to help me. Now, if you need a pen or a pencil, if you'd like to write something down, do me a favor here. Kim, why don't you grab those first two things of pens and pencils. I find that it's helpful whenever I read my Bible pray to have a pen in hand. Because I assume that it's not a one-way deal. It's a two-way street. And God oftentimes impresses my mind with something specific, and I want to write it down before I forget it. So you may want to take notes this morning as we work our way through this set of this information. And there may be specifically, and I would hope possibly, one area of the seven that applies specifically to you, where the Holy Spirit is going to prod you in some form or fashion within and say, hey, this is where you're at this morning. This is an issue for you. This is something you need to attend to. Now, Neil Anderson uses this material in a corporate sense as we are. It's far more effective when we do so individually. We got a few extras. Anybody need one that didn't get one? Back, did you get in the back room there? Okay. We do have some extras if somebody would like one. It's far more effective if you do it in an individual. However, I wouldn't suggest that it's ineffective. In fact, I have a belief that God is going to encourage or challenge you as he has me with this material this morning. So put your thinking caps on if you haven't got them on this morning. We're going back to school here for a little bit. This is an interactive exercise for the next half hour or so. I want to work with you together as we are collaborators, the Bible says, with the Spirit of God in the process of sanctification, of deliverance, of freeing us, as we sang, being free, perhaps from some of our self-centered tendencies that could even be demonically induced. So, steps to freedom. In essence, the basis of his material here is taken from the book of Peter, where he tells us to submit ourselves to God, to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And so in seven different aspects of our lives, we want to do exactly that. Now, notice how it's laid out if you have the material in front of you. There's a prayer section where we will pray together. We're going to read these prayers audibly. There's a declaration oftentimes. And what he is doing is differentiating between repenting of sin, which is done to God, and renouncing sin or the devil himself. When you join this church or when you're baptized at this church, we always call, it's an ancient creed, but we call you to renounce the devil, all his works and all his ways, verbally. And so we will take some time to renounce specific things. Now, again, some of this may not apply to you, or something specific may very well. And I would encourage you, if you need to, the star circle, that element, perhaps of the seven, where you feel like there's work to do or more work to do. I'd be glad to sit back down with you after this morning. Maybe we could take a second look and do some further work in that department. So let's begin by praying for protection and guidance. It's the opening prayer there on page one of your outlines. I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Anytime there's a citation of a verse, we will not read that as we read together this morning. Okay, or anything in parentheses. There's some explanations of omniscience and omnipotence. We won't read those words, but that's what you're saying in essence. So join me if you would. Let's begin by presenting ourselves to God. Let's ask him for his protection and his guidance as we seek to live out our freedom in Christ. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I acknowledge your presence in this room and in my life. You are the only omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent God. I am dependent upon you, for apart from Christ, I can do nothing. I stand in the truth that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to the resurrected Christ. Because I am in Christ, I share that authority in order to make disciples and set captives free. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and lead me into all truth. I pray for your complete protection and ask for your guidance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The next section is a declaration. This may be new to you, but we are not speaking to God. We are renouncing the devil and his works. So join me if you would. Careful as you read. Let's declare who we are before Satan and his minions. Would you read with me as a child? As a child of God, seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and in the name and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command Satan and all evil spirits to release me in order that I can be free to know and choose to do the will of God. I commit myself to do the will of God. I submit my body to my Heavenly Father as a living sacrifice, an instrument of righteousness. I refuse to be intimidated by Satan's lies or to give in to any physical harassment. I am a child of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. Do you believe that? Then let's go on. The first area that we want to deal with is counterfeit versus real. Paul tells us in Colossians 2, see to it that no one takes you captive by hollow and deceptive philosophies. Remember the verse? Depend on human traditions and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Unchristian beliefs. And so we want to begin by identifying if there is any unchristian beliefs, counterfeit ideas, as opposed to God's truth in our lives. We want to ask God to reveal those. So why don't you begin with me? Let's read that prayer there, dear Heavenly Father. And then we've got an overhead I want you to look at and do some thinking. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to guard my heart and my mind and to reveal to me any and all involvement I have had either knowingly or unknowingly with cultic or occultic practices, false religions, and false teachers. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I want you to take note of the overhead up top. Here's some types of things that could include. There may be a variance of opinion about some of these. That's fine. You're free to question, perhaps. A few in particular that I know that people are going to wonder, well, what exactly does that mean, or is it? But I want you to take a quick scan of this set of material here. And if there's something specific that you note that perhaps you have a history in, or in some form or fashion have dabbled in or been involved in, my encouragement to you right now would be then to renounce that as wrong. Now, if God has brought something to mind this morning, I want to encourage you to confess that to him and renounce it as not according to his plans or purposes for you. There's a section right below there. You're told to write something down that God brings to mind. If you have something to confess to him this morning, why don't you do so? Just where you're seated in your own heart, confess that to him as wrong and ask his forgiveness. And renounce that as counterfeit to true Christianity. Would you do that just where you're seated? Amen. Let's go to step two, if you would, with me. Deception versus truth, the second area that we want to attend to. We've seen in our series from 1 Timothy 4 that the Bible tells us that there are deceiving spirits who are trying to lull people away from the faith and teach things contrary to the truth of God. Here's an opening prayer I'd like to invite you to pray with me. Careful as we read through this prayer to exactly what we are looking for. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I know that you desire truth in the inner self, and that facing this truth is the way of liberation. I acknowledge that I have been deceived by the father of lies, and that I have deceived myself. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you, Heavenly Father, will rebuke all deceiving spirits by virtue of the shed blood and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since by faith I have received you into my life, and I am now seated with Christ in the heavenlies, I command all deceiving spirits to depart from me. And I now ask the Holy Spirit to guide me into all truth. I ask you to search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. And know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You have and should have in your bulletin this morning an affirmation of faith, statement of truth. Powerful. I want to encourage you, if you would like to hang on to this especially, you're welcome to take everything you've got in your hands, but this might be something you want to keep in your Bible. Because there is power in the truth. It's the truth, Jesus said, that sets us free. And so why don't you join me? There's several tenets here. There's actually 11. Let's just quickly read through these basic truths of our faith and our salvation through Christ. Again, we won't recite the verse citations, but just what is not in parentheses. Would you read with me as we go? I recognize that there is only one true God who exists as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is worthy of all honor, praise, and glory as the one who made all things and hold all things together. There's verses to back up those basic tenets. Do you believe that? Let's go on to the second one. I recognize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Word who became flesh and dwell among us. I believe that he came to destroy the works of the devil and that he disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public display of them, having triumphed over them. Point three, I believe that God has proven his own love for me, because when I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. I believe that he delivered me from the domain of darkness and transferred me to his kingdom. And in him I have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Do you believe that? Let's go on to number four there. I believe that I am now a child of God and that I am seated with Christ in the heavenlies. I believe that I was saved by the grace of God through faith, and that it was a gift and not as a result of any works on my part. Number five, I choose to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I put no confidence in the flesh, for the weapons of warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of strongholds. I put on the full armor of God. I resolve to stand firm in my faith and resist the evil one. Number six, I believe that apart from Christ, I can do nothing. And so I declare my complete dependence on him. I choose to abide in Christ in order to bear much fruit and glorify my Father. I announce to Satan that Jesus is my Lord, and I reject any and all counterfeit gifts or works of Satan in my life. Number seven, I believe that the truth will set me free, and that Jesus is the truth. If he sets me free, I will be free indeed. I recognize that walking in the light is the only path of true fellowship with God and man. Therefore, I stand against all of Satan's deception by taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. I declare that the Bible is the only authoritative standard for truth and life. Now our bodies, number eight. I choose to present my body to God as a living and holy sacrifice, and the members of my body as instruments of righteousness to God. I choose to renew my mind by the living word of God, in order that I may prove that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. I put off the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self. I declare myself to be a new creation in Christ. Do you believe that? It's powerful information there, and it's true. And that's the kind of truth that sets us free. How about number nine, the Holy Spirit? By faith, I choose to be filled with the Spirit so that I can be guided into all truth. I choose to walk by the Spirit, so I will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Number 10, your choice to love. I renounce all selfish goals and choose the ultimate goal of love. I choose to obey the two greatest commandments: to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. And finally, authority, number 11. I believe that the Lord Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, that he is the head over all rule and authority. I am complete in him. I believe that Satan and his demons are subject to me in Christ, since I am a member of Christ's body. Therefore, I obey the command to submit to God and resist the devil, and I command Satan in the name of Jesus Christ to leave my presence. That has to be done verbally. I don't believe the devil can read your mind. Where you and I can pray silently to God, when you deal with the devil, you need to deal with him. verbally. Deception versus truth. Let's pick up with the one I suggested earlier, bitterness versus forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4 again tells us not to give the devil a foothold by leaving sins unforgiven. Most of the ground of Satan gains in the lives of a Christian is due to unforgiveness. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Most of the ground that Satan gains in the lives of Christians is due to unforgiveness. Now, forgiveness is not forgetting. It's a choice. It's a crisis of the will. Forgiveness is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin. It's costly. And we pay the price of the evil when we forgive. We are canceling someone else's debt. And really, ultimately, I think we're giving it over to God. Forgive from the heart. That means to acknowledge the hurt and the hate, but then willfully to concede to God's exhortation and forgive as Christ has forgiven us. We're going to work with this one for just a moment. Let's pray, first of all, the prayer that's stated there. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the riches of your kindness, forbearance, and patience, knowing that your kindness has led me to repentance. I confess that I have not extended that same patience and kindness towards others who have offended me, but instead have harbored bitterness and resentment. I pray that during this time of self-examination, you would bring to mind only those people that I have not forgiven in order that I may do so. I also pray that if I have offended others, you would bring to mind those people from whom I need to seek forgiveness and the extent to which I need to seek it. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I want to pause for just a moment. You and I have just invited, if you didn't notice, the Lord himself to reveal our hearts. And I like the fact that he has suggested only those sins that have not been dealt with, because the Spirit will not bring up previous and old business. The devil will. He'd love to remind you of past hurts and issues, but not the Holy Spirit. If it's been dealt with, then it's done. But if there's someone in your heart and your mind that comes to mind this morning and you say, you know what, I am harboring resentment or bitterness against that person, then I want to encourage you to deal with that right where you're seated here today. Acknowledge that to God. Ask for his forgiveness for your unforgiveness. And if necessary, seek restitution. So let's just take a pause right here, just a moment if we could. You may have some work to do beyond this moment. If so, you might want to put a star or take note, maybe a name right there in your outline of something that God is indicating to you or someone that God is indicating to you that needs to be approached. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in that. I know there's a blessing here for you. And as Paul tells us, it does not give the devil a foothold. It gives him no place against us when we remove that spirit of unforgiveness. Let's go to number 4 here, the next step, rebellion versus submission. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who's struggling with submission. He's given you several parameters there. Government is the context here in Romans, although it's a broader sense of the specific areas of authority. Parental authority for any that might young yet and living under their parents' authority. Husbands and wives. Wives, submit to your husbands as husbands also to Christ. Employer-employee relationships and the authority that an employer would have over you, perhaps, as an employee. Possibly even within church and the church leadership. Rebellion. Told in the book of Samuel that rebellion is the sin of which is the sin of witchcraft. Insubordination is as idolatry to God. These are serious matters, and again, we want to deal with them adequately. If you sense that you need to seek forgiveness from God here, why don't you join me? Let's pray together that next prayer. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, you have said that rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. I know that in action and in attitude, I've sinned against you with a rebellious heart. I ask your forgiveness for my rebellion and pray that by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all ground gained by evil spirits because of my rebelliousness would be canceled. I pray that you will shed light on all my ways, that I may know the full extent of my rebelliousness and choose to adopt a submissive spirit and a servant's heart. In the name of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. A couple more steps here that I'd like to work through with you. The next is pride versus humility. The Bible tells us that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And we're exhorted by Peter, humble ourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might exalt us in due time. Perhaps there's an issue here that you likewise are dealing with. Let's ask the Lord for direction as we prepare for this area. Would you pray that prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, you have said that pride goes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before stumbling. I confess that I have not denied myself, picked up my cross daily, and followed you. In so doing, I have given ground to my enemy in my life. I believe that I could be successful and live victoriously by my own strength and resources. I now confess that I have sinned against you by placing my will before yours and by centering my life around self instead of you. I now renounce the self life and by so doing cancel all the ground that has been gained in my members by the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you will guide me so that I will do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but that with humility of mind, I will regard others as more important than myself. Enable me through your love to serve others and in honor to prefer others. I ask this in the name of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. I want you to take note of the following areas there. Perhaps I've got one circled myself right now. There's one or two that apply directly to you. And if you're convicted as so, I want you to note those. We'll take a moment here to confess them as pride. I'd like for you, as we pray this next part, just insert there, and you can do so in silence, perhaps the area or areas that you identify with as prideful in your life. Why don't you join me? Let's pray that final part of step five. Lord, I agree that I have been prideful in the area of continue. Please forgive me for this pridefulness. I choose to humble myself and place all my confidence in you. Amen. Good choice. It's a powerful move. Step six, bondage versus freedom. We're going to look at the sins of the flesh as they're recorded or called in Scripture. Follow me as we begin here. Let's pray to the Lord and ask him to help us as we discern perhaps any fleshly type sins or activities in our lives. Would you pray this next prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, you have told us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. I acknowledge that I have given in to fleshly lusts which wage war against my soul. I thank you that in Christ my sins are forgiven, but I have transgressed your holy law and given the enemy an opportunity to wage war in my members. I come before your presence to acknowledge these sins and to seek your cleansing, that I may be freed from the bondage of sin. I now ask you to reveal to my mind the ways that I have transgressed your moral law and grieved your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Galatians 5:19 tells us that the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. This shouldn't be a hard one for any of us. When you act naturally and sinfully, you probably are aware of that as a Christian. He begins the list with these. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality is on top of the list. It probably ought to be in our society as it was in his. So let's begin by thinking about sexual sins, i.e. pornography, masturbation, sexual promiscuity, lust, or even difficulties of intimacy within your marriage is a possible area. Let's ask the Lord to reveal to our minds any misuse of our bodies in this respect. Would you pray that following prayer with me? Lord, I ask you to reveal to my mind every sexual use of my body as an instrument of unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, I pray. I want you to take, if you would, just a moment and allow the Lord, if there's something specific that he reveals to you, to help you to deal with that area or issue. Notice there's some specific prayers for several different aspects of our bodies below homosexuality, whether in action or tendencies or temptations, abortion, possible perhaps someone or several have had abortions in the past and the Lord has pinpointed to you that this was wrong. If it's not been dealt with, it needs to be confessed and dealt with. Suicidal tendencies or temptations, because the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, technically are demonic, and we need to acknowledge that as wrong and renounce those and reject them. Eating disorders, common today, as well as cutting. That's another area where we see people distorting their view of self and their treatment of their bodies. Substance abuse, seeking escape or release in food or drink or drugs. Boy, if that's true of you, there's a prayer specifically that you could pray of repentance and renouncing that area. So why don't you take just a moment, if there's something particular to you that maybe the Lord is pinpointing, would you deal with that right now between you and him? You may have some ongoing work to do in this area. Again, I'd be glad to sit down with you if there's a concern or a need, something perhaps that has you've dealt with for some time. But I'd like to suggest that we pray there, the prayer of commitment of our bodies to the Lord. Let's ask God to give us the capacity to accept ourselves as we are in our bodies and to yield our bodies as he has intended them to be, holy to him in his service. Would you pray that prayer? It begins, Lord, I renounce. Lord, I renounce all these uses of my body as an instrument of unrighteousness, and by so doing, ask you to break all bondages that Satan has brought into my life through their involvement. I confess my participation. I now present my body to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. And I reserve the sexual use of my body only for marriage. I renounce the lie of Satan that my body is not clean, that it is dirty, or in any way unacceptable as a result of my past sexual experience. Lord, I thank you that you have totally cleansed and forgiven me, that you love and accept me unconditionally. Therefore, I can accept myself, and I choose to do so, to accept myself and my body as cleansed. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, that's a truth that the devil does not want you to know. He doesn't want you to know or believe that not only does God forgive all your sins, but he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He washes the slate clean as if it never happened. That's a hard one for us to conceptualize as humans. I believe it's true because I believe that's what God teaches in his word. There's a final prayer in this step before we get to step 7. After we've confessed any known sins, let's pray that if you'll find it there, just before step 7. Ready? I now confess these sins to you and claim through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ my forgiveness and cleansing. I cancel all ground that evil spirits have gained through my willful involvement in sin. I ask this in the wonderful name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The last one this morning that I want to look at is perhaps a curious one for some. Acquiescence versus renunciation. In essence, what Neil Anderson is leading to there is that it is possible, and we see this in Scripture occasionally, for someone to carry into their life something that was passed from a generation prior. And anything ancestral, in fact, we have, and psychology would give evidence to the fact that we have all kinds of social sins, if we could call them, that are maladies that pass from family to family. And that's curious to us whether that's genetic, whether it's socialized and learned at home, or whether it's innate in our genetic makeup. What we're going to do at this point is we're just going to clear that air in that area. The other aspect that he's going to deal with is curses. And I believe that there is such a thing as cursing and blessing. I do believe that words are powerful and that you can speak to someone and that can ruin their day or can make their day by what you say. But that there's also a power innate that God has given us through the tongue in a negative sense that Satan wants to employ against us. So in essence, that's what he's dealing with here. Read carefully. Let's look at the declaration here as a beginning. I want you to think this through with me as we read. I here and now reject and disown all the sins of my ancestors. And as one who has been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, I cancel out all demonic working that may have been passed on to me from my ancestors. As one who has been crucified and raised with Jesus Christ and who sits with him in heavenly places, I renounce all satanic assignments that are directed toward me in my ministry. And I cancel every curse that Satan and his workers have put on me. I announce to Satan and all his forces that Christ became a curse for me when he died for my sins on the cross. I reject any and every way in which Satan may claim ownership of me. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased me with his own blood. I reject all blood sacrifices whereby Satan may claim ownership of me. I declare myself to be eternally and completely signed over and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. By the authority that I have in Jesus Christ, I now command every familiar spirit and every enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave my presence. I commit myself to my Heavenly Father to do his will from this day forward. That's a declaration. That's a renouncing to the enemy. Now let's pray to God that final prayer. Dear Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you as your child, purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Lord of the universe, the Lord of my life. I submit my body to you as an instrument of righteousness, a living sacrifice, that I may glorify you in my body. I now ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I commit myself to the renewing of my mind in order to prove that your will is good, perfect, and acceptable for me. All this I do in the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, that's powerful praying. Don't you wish you could pray like that? Every sentence has spiritual implications. I want to offer this to you as a tool, perhaps for someone that's been meaningful or helpful this morning. I would suggest probably all of us in some form or fashion could gain ground, spiritually speaking, by perhaps occasionally reviewing and asking ourselves, is there any area of my life where I'm allowing the enemy access, opportunity, as Paul talks about in Ephesians 4? We have just covered seven different possible aspects or ways that he might be seeking an advantage in your life or against you. And we have kind of like that doctor's assessment, we've just kind of covered all these different bases. And again, I would suggest perhaps there's one or two that in your life may ring true. Maybe there's something specific here that you see that you would do well to go back and revisit, to reread. And if necessary, to review and follow through with those prayers or declarations again. Again, I'd be glad to sit down with you. It's a neat opportunity, I think, for us from time to time to do that individually as well. Just to encourage one another in who we are in Christ and all that God has given us by virtue of who Christ is and what he's done. So as we close this morning, let's finish by focusing our minds and our hearts on him. Let's take just a moment. There's a final song. If Mary, if you'd come up, I'm going to have you play it for me, if you would. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.